Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Amen. Praise God. With God's help, I would like to preach this morning about the potter's wheel. Amen. I want to talk about the potter's wheel. If you would, help me pray this morning, and let's ask for God's anointing in this service. Lord Jesus, God, we're thankful for your precious word, God. We're thankful for the truth and the revelation contained in your word, Lord. We ask that you would anoint it, God, to anoint it to every heart and to every situation, to every need here today, God. Speak to us through your word, God, and give us ears to hear what your voice has to say. God, we love you today, God. We're so thankful for this opportunity to be in your house one more time, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. You could be seated this morning. Praise God. Praise God. This verse of Scripture is not a new one. I've heard this preached from many times. But we see here in these verses a plea to God for intervention. Amen. We see people here pleading with God or asking for God's help. We see God's people, Israel, starting, if we were to go back to the end of chapter 63 and continuing in chapter 64, they're asking and they're pleading for God's help. They acknowledge their failures. Amen. They acknowledge their inability to make it without the help of God. They begin to say things like, "We are as an unclean thing." They say things like, "We are our righteousness is everything, the good things that we would do, the good things that we would try to do, amen, are as filthy rags. Our iniquities have taken us away." In verse 7, they say things like, "Nobody's calling on your name, Lord." They're saying things like, "Nobody is striving to get a hold of you. God, you have hid your face and you have consumed us." Amen. But they say, "It's not your fault, God, it's ours. It's not your fault that you've done all of these things, that you've turned your face from us." Amen. But it's ours. It's because of our iniquity. It's because of our sins. Amen. They're saying things like, "I'm not going to blame anyone but myself for the situation that I'm in." Amen. In the world that we live in today, a lot of people like to blame others for their situation. A lot of people like to blame others for the circumstances that take place in their lives. Amen. Whenever you say things like these, amen, you can't say these type of things with your head held high. You can't say things like, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags," with your head hung high. Amen. But instead, these are things that people say when their heads are hung low. Amen. When they feel sorrow for what they've done, they feel bad for the things that they've done. This is something, and this is how people that are broken speak. Amen. I'll tell you this morning that it may not seem like a desirable place to be, but it is truly an awesome place to find yourself. Amen. To find yourself broken. Amen. I know that goes in contradiction to what our world will tell you. Amen. Our world will tell you whatever you've got to do to make yourself happy, whatever you've got to do to lift yourself up, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Amen. But it's a good place to find yourself broken. Amen. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 18. You don't have to turn there this morning if you don't want to. But it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That word contrite there means crushed. Amen. It means having your spirit crushed, literally to powder. Amen. Psalms 51 and verse 17. It says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Amen. The word contrite here means to collapse, means to either physically or mentally collapse. Amen. Praise God. God loves it when we come to ourselves and we realize just how much we need Him. Amen. God loves it when we understand just how lost we are and how hopeless we are without Him. Praise God. But being broken may not seem fun today. In fact, it's not. Amen. And let me tell you from personal experience, sometimes we have to hit rock bottom. Sometimes we have to hit the lowest point that we feel like that we can go in our lives before we can realize just how bad off we really are and just how much we truly need God in our lives. Praise God. When I came to God, amen, I hit rock bottom before I came to Him. Amen. When I came to God, I had been contemplating and had even attempted suicide. Amen. I didn't feel like I had anything to live for. I felt like no one understood where I was at and that nobody could take away the pain that I had in my life. Amen. The things that were inside of me that I could not get rid of. Amen. I didn't feel like I had a place in this world. Amen. I didn't feel like I had hope in this world. I didn't feel like anybody could help me or anybody could say anything to me that would lift me up or that would help me through my situation. Amen. But it was through this experience that I began to go to a Bible study. And I began to get a hold of God in a real and a personal way. Amen. And I'll tell you this morning, there's others here today that have experienced the same thing. There's others here today that, and you could say amen this morning, there's others that came to a place where you felt like you hit rock bottom. Amen. And there was no lower that you could go. Amen. Before you came to God. Praise God. Praise God. If we look at verse number 8 in Isaiah chapter 64, we see the mood kind of change a little bit. Instead of focusing on themselves, instead of focusing on their shortcomings, amen, Israel begins to shift their focus to God. Amen, they begin to look to God as the answer to their prayers, as the answer to their needs. They say, God, you are our Father. Amen. We are just clay in the potter's hand. Amen. That almost would come across, amen, as demeaning. Amen. That would almost come across as belittling to yourself. Amen. To say, I'm just a bunch of mud. Amen. I'm just a bunch of dirt. Amen. In your hand, God. We are just clay in the potter's hand. They're basically saying, God, you have the ability to make us into whatever you want us to be. Praise God. And you know what? That's a great place to be. That's a very great place to be. Verse 6 and 7 are much like repentance. Amen. That's when we admit our faults and our shortcomings and we ask God to forgive us. Amen. But you know what? Repentance goes beyond that. It's more than just asking God for forgiveness. And verse 8 illustrates that so very well. Amen. You see, repentance is more than just asking God to forgive us, but it is also submitting to God and to making some commitments to God. Amen. Telling God, God, I've done this in my past and I'm ashamed of it. God, I don't want to go this direction anymore. But God, I'm making some commitments to you moving forward. I'm not going to go back to my old lifestyle. I'm not going to go back to my old way of thinking, my old way of living. Amen, God. But I'm going to live for you and I'm going to walk with you. Amen. It may not be perfect. It may not be without bumps along the way. Amen. But one day living for God is better than every day living in the world. Praise God. And so we give our lives to God. And when we do so, we're saying to Him, we are the clay, God, and you're the potter. You are the potter. We're the work of your hands. We will allow you, God, to shape us and to make us into whatever you desire for us to be. Amen. No longer am I going to try to shape my life in the way that I want it to be. No longer am I going to try to make myself into what I desire for my future or for myself. Amen. Because I'll tell you, before I came to God, and I came to God, I was about 20, 21 years old when I gave my life to God. Amen. And those 20 or 21 years, I had failed miserably with what I was trying to develop in my life, what I was trying to make my life into. Amen. I had gone astray. I had done things that I was not proud of. Amen. I had gone in ways that I was not proud of and I'm still not proud of. Amen. But I'll tell you today, God has a better way of shaping our life. God has a better vision for your life. Amen. He has a better plan in store for your life. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter number 18 and verse 1. Turn there with me this morning. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. if you're still there in Isaiah, it's not too far in your Bible. Amen. It says, the word of the Lord which came to Jerusalem, or to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Amen. God could have spoken to Jeremiah right there. In fact, he began to. He told him where to go. Amen. But he stopped right there. Amen. He was waiting for Jeremiah to follow his commandment. He wanted Jeremiah to see something. He wanted him to see something with his eyes and to teach him something. Amen. Verse 3 says, then I went down to the potter's house, speaking for Jeremiah, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Amen. Has anybody ever seen a potter's wheel? Amen. It's kind of old-fashioned. Amen. We don't see it a lot anymore. Amen. They do still teach it in school, and you can get little homemade kits. Amen. But it's basically just a motor. Well, in our day, maybe not in their day, but in our day, it's a little motor that turns a wheel, and a lot of times the wheel is made of stone. Amen. And you put the clay upon it, and as the wheel turns, you can move your hands, and you can shape and form something into what you want it to be. In the olden days, they would use their feet, and they would spin the wheel with their feet. Amen. And they would move it, and it would go in a circle, and they would begin to shape the clay that was upon that potter's wheel. Amen. And so Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and the Bible says that the potter wrought a work on the wheels. He was making something there when he walked in. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Amen. We'll stop there for just a moment. Amen. As I thought about this, as I was preparing this, I began to think about the world that we live in. Amen. So many people in our world today have been marred by the situations in their lives. Amen. So many people, amen, that I've come into contact with in the church and even on my job and in the world, so many people have gone through situations and they've gone through circumstances and they've been marred in their lives. Amen. They've been scarred. Amen. Some have physical scars. Amen. And those are there for everybody to see. Amen. People can ask, where did that come from or how did that happen? But other people have mental or emotional scars. And you know, these are the type of scars that we keep hidden on the inside of us. Amen. Maybe out of fear or maybe out of insecurity, whatever the case may be. We don't want people to know about our past. We don't want people to know about the things that happened in our past that we are not proud of or that we had no control over. Amen. And so these things, they scar us, they mar us. Amen. They make us less beautiful than we thought, than we had the potential to be. Amen. And especially those emotional, amen, those internal, those mental scars, amen, they have the ability to work on us, amen, and to make us think less of ourselves, to make us look at ourselves less desirably, amen, and to think that we don't have any future, we don't have any hope in this life. Whatever category you fall into this morning, I want to tell you and I want to encourage somebody today that this is not how your story has to end. Amen. It doesn't have to end with you being marred and beaten up. Amen. If the potter had this vessel, amen, and maybe he wasn't done with it, or maybe he had slipped and this vessel began to come apart and part of it fell off, amen. And if he would have stopped the wheel right there, that vessel would not have been beautiful. That vessel would have looked broken. Amen. It probably wouldn't have held water. Amen. I always think of a pitcher or a vase whenever I'm thinking of the potter's wheel. Amen, because I've seen some beautiful vases, or vases if you're a little bit more refined. Amen, but I've seen them on the potter's wheel, and they look beautiful. Amen. And people, these people can make such beautiful things. They can make such beautiful things upon this potter's wheel, and the colors and the things that they add to them. Amen, but they could stop short. Amen, and if they did, it would not be beautiful. Amen. If they did, it would look ugly. Amen. And let me tell you today that when we carry around our scars from our past, amen, sometimes we feel ugly. Praise God. Amen. Verse 4, if we continue to read on, it says, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do to you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. God has the ability to make our lives into something new. Amen. Somebody could say amen to that. God has the ability to make us into something awesome if we will allow Him to. Amen. In fact, God specializes in that. Amen. The Bible talks about those that are well do not need a physician. Amen. But those who are sick, those who are not well, amen, those are the ones that need a physician. Those are the ones that need God so much more. Those that are marred, those that are scarred from their past, amen, those that are broken, amen, those are the ones that God specializes in. Amen. Those are the lives that God specializes in. Praise God. He specializes in putting together all the broken pieces. Amen. He specializes in putting an individual's life together and making it into something beautiful. Praise God. But God will never, ever force this on anybody. Amen. God will never force you to get back on the potter's wheel. God has given each of us the power of choice to choose His plan or our plan. Amen. To choose His will or our will. Praise God. We may not choose the life and the past that we had. Amen. When we're growing up, especially when we're young, we don't get to choose everything that's happened to us in our past. But we have the power this morning to choose to get back upon the potter's wheel. We have the power this morning to allow God to begin to make our lives into something beautiful. Amen. To make us into something beautiful. Praise God. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? Amen. God has the ability to make us into something beautiful. Amen. And I'm not talking necessarily about the outward appearance, although He can make us more beautiful on the outside. Amen. But I'm talking deep down inside of us. Amen. Where we feel ugly. Amen. Where we feel less than adequate. God has the ability to make that beautiful. Amen. John chapter 9 and verse 1. John chapter 9 and verse 1 in your New Testament. Amen. It says, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Amen. I don't understand that altogether, how this man could sin before he was born, that he would be born blind. But Jesus answered, neither this man has sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Amen. This man did not choose to be blind. Amen. I don't know of anybody that would choose that. He didn't choose his past. Amen. But he was about to get the chance to do something about his future. Amen. He was about to get a choice to do something about what he was going to do from this day forward. Amen. John chapter 9 and verse 4 says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. Jesus said He was the light of the world. Amen. And let me tell you today, the church, amen, after Jesus ascended into heaven, He made the church the light of the world. Praise God. Verse 6 says, when He had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now some of us would be like, that's gross. Amen. He spit in the dirt, and he worked it together in his finger, and he wiped it on the hands of this blind man. But I'll tell you what, this blind man didn't see anything. Maybe he heard Jesus spit, but he didn't know where the mud came from that was on his eyes. Amen. All he knew was that this man Jesus was touching his eyes. Amen. Verse 7 says unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He sent him to wash. And he went his way, therefore, and washed. And the Bible says what? He came seeing. Praise God. Amen. God worked a miracle through this situation. This man, this blind man, had a difficult past. Amen. Maybe more difficult than some of us. Amen. Probably more difficult than a lot of us. Amen. The Bible says that he was a blind beggar. Amen. He had to beg for his food because he didn't have the ability to work. Amen. They didn't have programs for people who were blind back then. Amen. If you were blind, amen, all you could do to survive was to beg and to plead and to ask for people to help you. Amen. And your life expectancy was probably not very long. Amen. But this blind man, amen, he came to Jesus, and he, you know what? He could have wallowed in self-pity. He could have just washed that clay or wiped that clay off of his face and went back to his begging. Amen. He could have brushed it off and said, you're crazy. There's nothing that you can do for me. I'm blind. Amen. There's nothing that anybody can do for me. Amen. But instead, he did something about it. When Jesus spoke to him, when he told him to go wash, amen, he went. He got up from where he was, amen, and he went to the pool of Siloam and he washed himself just as the Lord had commanded him. He followed the commandment of God, and because of that, he was given a new beginning. Praise God. He was given a new start. Amen. And if you read on the story, we're not going to go into it. It's almost funny because the religious leaders begin to ask him, how did this happen? And he said, I don't know who this man was. Amen. All I know is that he put clay on my eyes. Amen. And I went and washed and now I can see. Amen. The religious leaders didn't understand how it could happen. They didn't understand how this man could be healed. Amen. For what it's worth, I don't think it's a coincidence that God used clay to make a change in this man's life. Amen. I don't believe it's a coincidence that they used the word clay instead of the word mud. Amen. But he put clay upon his eyes. Amen. And this man, if you will, got back upon the potter's wheel, and he allowed God to begin to form and fashion him in a different way. He began to take away the marred past that he had. And when he got done with this man, there was something very beautiful to see. Amen. There was something very beautiful to behold. Praise God. Amen. He got back on the potter's wheel. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Turn there with me this morning. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that's tired of living the life that you've been living for so long. Amen. I wonder if there's somebody here that feels heavy or burdened, amen, or weighed down by your past, amen, by your faults and your failures, by the things that have happened in your past. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody that feels like you've got a weight upon your shoulders that you just can't get out from under. Amen. And you feel like you've got to carry it everywhere in your life. If so, hear me today. The Lord is calling out to you. The Lord is calling out for you to come unto Him. He has the rest that your soul is searching for. Amen. He has the rest that you've been looking for. He has the relief from that weight. Amen. And I'll tell you, when I was baptized in Jesus' name, and others can attest to that. Amen. When I went down in that watery grave of baptism, when I came up out of the water, I felt physically lighter. Amen. God lifted the weight that was upon my shoulders, and He took it off and He set it aside, and I literally felt like I could walk on air. Amen. I felt light. Amen. I felt free. Amen. Because no longer was the burden of the sins that I had committed in my past, no longer was it upon my shoulders. Amen. But God made me into something brand new. Praise God. God is the only thing that can fill the void that is in each and every one of our lives today. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Whether you're living for God, whether or not you're living for God, you know the void that I'm talking about. Amen. Drugs cannot fill this void. Alcohol cannot fill this void. Earthly relationships cannot fill this void. Money can't fill this void. Amen. Entertainment cannot fill this void. In fact, all of these things eventually seem to make the void even larger, because we try to find our happiness. We try to find our joy in these things. Amen. And they let us down and they fail us. And so we try to find something else. and that fails us. And we try to find something else, and we go a different direction. And maybe the alcohol isn't doing it anymore, so we turn to the drugs. Amen. And maybe this drug isn't doing it anymore, so we go to a stronger and a more deeper drug. Amen. And it doesn't do it for us anymore, and we begin to get to the place where we feel like there's nothing that can fill that void. And I'll tell you this morning, that's a great place to be, to understand that nothing in this world can fill that void. It's a God-shaped void. Amen. The only thing that can fill that void is the presence of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. When God puts His Spirit down inside of us, amen, that's the only thing that will fill the void there. Amen. God is the only thing that can make us truly happy. God is the only thing that can give us joy. Amen. And the Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. Joy unspeakable. It's so good we don't even know what to say about it. Amen. Does that mean every day I'm living for God's going to be perfect? No, I'm not going to tell you that. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's always joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen, because we can have the best of this life. Amen, and we have hope in the life to come that we're going to spend eternity with Him. Amen, we're going to spend eternity with joy and peace. Amen, and hope and love. Amen, we're going to spend eternity with our Savior. Amen, who went to Calvary for us. Amen. God is the only thing that can fill that void in our lives. Verse 29 of Matthew chapter 11, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I wonder if there's today anybody in this house that's looking for rest for your soul. Amen. Verse 30 says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Amen. That weight that we carry around when we're in sin is a lot heavier than the yoke that we put on when we start living for God. Amen. Living for God is not difficult. Amen. It's not all rules and regulations that we have to abide by. Amen. So many people get that misconception. So many people get that misunderstanding that if I live for God, I can't have any fun, or I can't do anything fun, or I've just got to follow rules and I'm going to be a boring person. Amen. That's not what living for God is like. Amen. When God puts His Spirit inside of us, He writes His laws upon the tables of our heart. Amen. And when He does that, amen, we have a desire to line up with His law. We have a desire to line up with His word. Amen. We have a desire to be pleasing unto Him. Amen. Not because somebody told us to. Not because it's carved in tables of stone. Amen. But it's because it's written upon the fleshly tables of our heart. We have a natural desire to please Him. I've heard it said many times, and I found it to be true in living for God, that if you live for God hard, amen, it's going to be easy. Amen. If you live for God with everything that you've got, it's going to be an easy road. Amen. But if you live for God easy, if you take it haphazardly or lackadaisically, amen, it's going to be hard. Amen. It depends on how much you want to put into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Amen. A verse that we quote a lot. Amen. It says, Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. We love to quote that verse in praise and worship. We love the liberty that we feel when we feel the presence of God, when we receive the presence of God. Amen. And we've experienced it. Amen. We begin to feel God moving in our midst. Amen. And He inhabits our praises. Amen. And we begin to dance and to shout and to clap our hands unto the Lord. And there's a liberty in the worship. Amen. There's not anything binding us up. There's not anything holding us back. Amen. But it's more than just worship. Praise God. God's Spirit brings liberty, not only in church services, amen, but also in our lives. Amen. God sets us free through His Spirit. Amen. Through the Spirit of God that He puts within us. Verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. We're changed into His image. Amen. That means we become less like us and more like Him. Amen. That means before you came to God, like me when I was 20 or 21, everything I had done up to that point, amen, I become less like the old man and I become more and more like him. Amen. Well, you may be saying, Brother Reed, I'm looking at you and you don't look anything like Jesus. And you're right. Amen. I don't, because I've still got a long ways to go. Amen. And so do you. Praise God. We are changed. Amen. If we're going to make it in living for God, we're going to have to be changed. Amen. We're going to have to be changed, not just once. Amen. But over and over and over again. Amen. From glory to glory, the Bible says. Amen. We've got to be changed. The word change there means to transform. Amen. It literally or figuratively means a metamorphosis. Amen. Think about that today. A metamorphosis. Amen. Shout out to the book that we've read in Sunday school called Hermie the Caterpillar. Does anybody remember that book? Amen. Some of these young people, some of the children, I don't know if they still read it. It's an awesome book. There's a sequel, and I don't remember the sequel, but we've read that too. Amen. But it's about a caterpillar. Amen. You know what? We may start out this life ugly and insignificant, like Hermie thought he was, like a caterpillar. Amen. But when God gets through with us, amen, we are going to be a beautiful butterfly. Amen. God has the ability to metamorphosize us, to make us into what he wants us to be. Amen. Old things. The Bible says, behold, old things are passed away. All things are become brand new. Amen. Amen. That means that I don't have to be held under the bondage that I used to be held under. That means that when the devil comes around saying, oh, well, you're just going to go back to this way of living, or you don't have the power to do this or that, amen, I can say, you know what, I don't have the power, but God put his spirit inside of me, and he gave me the power to overcome my past, amen. He gave me the ability and the power to get back upon the potter's wheel and to allow him to form and to fashion me into what he wants me to be. Praise God. Amen. God has that ability if we will allow him. Praise God. One more verse as the musicians come this morning. Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 2 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Amen. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Amen. I wonder if any of us, maybe in our past or maybe even today, maybe in our present, I wonder if any of us have felt like we've been in a horrible pit. Amen. That's a horrible place to be. That's a scary place to be, is in a pit. Amen. I think of the story of Joseph. Amen. When his brothers threw him down into the pit. Amen. If he could have climbed his way out of it, he would have. If he could have clawed and crawled out of it, if there was another way for him to get out of that pit, Joseph would have gotten out. Amen. The Bible says they left him there. Amen. He could have crawled out if it was possible, but it wasn't possible. He didn't have the ability to get out of that pit on his own. And this horrible pit that it's talking about in the book of Psalms is something that we don't have the ability to get out of ourselves. We don't have the ability to climb out of this pit. We don't have the ability to crawl and pull and push. We can't get out by ourselves. He brought us out of the miry clay. The miry clay is that sticky clay. Amen. It's almost like quicksand that when you get into it, you just don't have the strength to get back out of it. But the Bible says he brought us out of that. And he set us upon a rock. Amen. If you've ever been in an uncertain place or had uncertain footing, amen, you were thankful to get back upon solid ground. Amen. And the Bible says that he established my goings. God specializes in digging people's lives out of the mud and cleaning them up. Amen. He does. No matter how bad your past has been, no matter what you've done or what's been done to you, God is able to pull you up out of that horrible pit and put your feet on solid ground today. Amen. You don't have to stay there. I want to ask you this morning, and I'll tell you, God laid this thought on my heart several years ago. I actually came across it when I was preparing for this morning's message. I wrote this down in some notes, and when I was that I kept in my Bible. And I wrote this down. It says, are you going to be locked up and chained by your past? Or are you going to allow yourself to be changed by the Word and by the Spirit of God? Amen. We have a choice here today. We can allow our past to keep a hold of us. We can stay in that horrible pit. We can stay in our past life. Amen. The things that we've always known. And there's comfort in that to an extent. Amen. But we also have the choice that we can get out of that lifestyle. And we can get out of our past. Amen. We can crawl back up upon the potter's wheel. And we can tell God, God, I don't know how to make myself. I don't know how to fashion myself. I don't know what you have for my life. Amen. But you do, God. And I want you to make me into what you desire for me. I want you to mold me and shape me, God, into what you have for me. Amen. And you know what? God will make you into a beautiful vessel. Can we stand together this morning? Amen. God is reaching out to somebody here this morning. God desires to touch somebody's heart here today. Amen. Why don't you get a friend? Why don't we come this morning? It's early. Amen. We've got plenty of time. Why don't we come this morning and let's pray? Amen. Let's seek the face of God. If you've got a burden upon your shoulders, amen. If you've got something in your past, amen, that's holding on to you that you just can't get free from, amen, why don't you just come today and give it to God. Tell God, I've done this. I've been through this, God. But you know where I'm at, God, and you know what I have need of, Lord. I give it to you, and I want you to make me, God, into what you want me to be. Oh, let's reach out to Him right now.